Good. Well, they were missing their bass singer because he's the same guy that's sick that's supposed to be cleaning the building. So, amen. Still very good this morning. Just one more soul. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Zechariah. I'm going to take my... It's distracting me. I'm easily distracted. Oh, it'll distract me there too. Better to get it out of my line of sight. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and the fifth Sunday of the month, just a wonderful week. God's been so good to us. We completed the upstairs, so I hope you get a chance. You get a chance to go up there and look at it. Also, our building fund commitment last Sunday was $65,000, right around $65,000 in commitments to the building fund. And amen. Whatever. I said, that's pretty good. Amen. Amen. And so, Lord, bless you for that promise. And that's between you and the Lord. We were studying the book of Zechariah, or have been, this last Wednesday night. And I came across this verse, and it goes along with our theme, and it just kind of attracted my attention. And so I felt the Lord have me speak on it this morning. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, have I set forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prison." Verse 12 is my text verse. "Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." Let's pray. We do thank you today, Lord, for your love. We thank you, God, for salvation through your Son. We... again, as we look at the Scriptures today, we pray, Lord, that would be very clear today of what you've done for us on Calvary. And Lord, that we are, and we do, have great hope. We're prisoners of hope, and we have great hope. And God, I again ask that you'd hide me behind the cross. Help me to say exactly what you'd want me to say. And Lord, help keep me from saying anything that would hinder the message today. Lord, open hearts this morning, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll give just a brief background. Zechariah, of course, one of the minor prophets. And Zechariah is one of the prophets of the remnant, or those that returned to Jerusalem after the captivity of 70 years in Babylon. So get kind of in your mind, get a picture now. Here's Haggai, the book before this book, has returned to the city of Jerusalem. And there, the city is, they began to rebuild the temple after it was destroyed by the Babylonians. They began to rebuild that temple. The temple work stopped. And for 14 years, the temple foundation was there, but there was no walls, there was no temple, just the foundation. And so Haggai, the prophet, comes on the scene. He begins to preach to them. And Haggai is a prophet up in his years, and he preaches to them that they have finished their own houses, but God's house they haven't finished. And so he was just mercilessly preaching to them, saying, "Hey, you built your own houses, but you won't build the house of God. You're more concerned about your stuff and your things and me, and then you are concerned about God and the things of God." And Haggai really preached it to him. And during Haggai's ministry, they began to finish the temple. Zechariah was a young prophet. He came on the scene about four or five months before the temple was completed. And so he was preaching to them as well and encouraging them to keep it up, to continue going forward in the rebuilding of the temple. And it's an amazing book, Zechariah the prophet. As we look at the context of verse 11 and 12 this morning, we look at verse 9, we see a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, without a doubt. There is no way that you couldn't see this. It says there that, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just," that means He is fair, "and having salvation." Aren't you glad He brought salvation? Amen? "And cometh unto thee, and he is just and having salvation lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of the foal of an ass. And we know Jesus Christ, as he came into Jerusalem there just prior to his crucifixion, came in on that donkey that had never been ridden. Remember the story? Told his disciples. He said, you go to this certain city and there'll be a donkey there tied up. You go get him and bring him to me. Remember the owner of the donkey said, what are you doing with my donkey? Why are you taking it? And the disciples said, the Lord hath need of it. Man, it's a great story. And they take the back. Jesus Christ rides into Jerusalem on that donkey that had never been ridden. And they began to throw palm leaves out in front of him and began to call him King, 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 King of the Jews, and began to proclaim him, glory to God in the highest. And what a great and wonderful event it was. Salvation has come to Jerusalem. The kingdom was offered to Jerusalem on that day. The kingdom was offered to the Jews on that day, but they rejected it. They rejected it. They rejected their king. They rejected the Messiah. And so that prophecy was fulfilled. By the way, he came humbly to Jerusalem. Unlike other kings who would defeat and destroy or whatever a certain city, and they would come in on their horse and on their big horse and with their big chariots, and they would make a big to-do about the king coming in, but not Jesus. He comes in humbly, riding upon a donkey. Let me tell you this morning, our Lord and Savior is meek and mild. Our Savior is a Savior of peace and love. And though He is just, and I'm glad that that particular word is in there, that means He is fair. That means that He is both sides. He is loving and kind, but He's also God of wrath. Amen? Can't have one without the other. He is just. And between verses 9 and 10, the Jews reject Him. Verse 10, speaking of His second coming. That is, when He returns to the battle of Armageddon. It says, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Again, we see here that Christ in His second coming, when He returns at the battle of Armageddon, at the end of the tribulation, He will simply speak, and the words of His mouth will destroy the enemies of God and the enemies of the Jews. And He will rule and reign from Zion. He will rule and reign from that holy mountain there on there in Jerusalem. Notice it says, I like this little part that says, and He shall speak peace unto the heathen. I'm glad that He speaks peace. Jesus does not force Himself upon anybody. You realize that? Unlike the Islamic faith with its, terrorist bombs and people strapping bombs on themselves and so forth and so on. Christianity, Jesus Christ speaks peace to the heathen. Amen? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, but He doesn't force Himself upon anybody. The gospel is given, but you make the choice. The gospel is given, but you make the choice. As we look again in verse 11, there are three things concerning the prisoners of hope here I want you to see. Verse 11 says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant have I set forth the prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. The Bible describes in the New Testament that when we are born into this world, we are born as little children, we are born as babies, dead in trespasses and sins. We are born, if you would, figuratively speaking, according to this verse, we are born in a pit. Now, the pit talked about here is cisterns. And in that area, during this time frame, and for hundreds of years, they would dig big pits and allow in the spring or when the rains came to fill these pits up so they would have drinking water. So they didn't just use wells. They'd also use these cisterns, these big pits. And if y'all remember the story of Joseph, remember the story of Joseph? His brothers were jealous of him. And there in Genesis chapter 34, 35, 36, and it says there that the brothers threw him into a pit where there was no water. That was what this was. It was a cistern that was empty. All right? So here we have the illustration, if you would, that we are dead in trespasses and sins. When we are born in this world, we are born sinners. We are born sinners. We are born selfish by nature. You do not have to teach a child how to be selfish. They are naturally selfish. Fine! I'm still that way, right? Mine! Mine! We are born naturally selfish. We are born with that selfish nature. And the Bible says, let me understand this. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You say, well, why is little Johnny selfish by nature? Because of his father, great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, who sinned, and by his sin, sin passed upon to every man. By his sin, the penalty, the death, passed upon to every man. I again remind you, had Adam not sinned, there would be no death. You say, preacher, you really believe that? I thought that was some kind of fable there in the Old Testament, back there in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. That's, it's a good story, but it's there as an allegory to teach us. It's not no allegory. The Bible's either the truth or it's not. If it's not true in the first three chapters, then it's not true in the last three chapters. And we are without hope, and we will die in our sins. Amen. Listen this morning. Little Johnny is selfish by nature because of his great-great-grandfather Adam. And we are born, as this illustrates here, we are born in a pit. We are born in a pit. We are dead in trespasses and sin. I don't know about you, but if I was in the pit, it would be a dark place. It's a dirty place. In other words, when you're in this pit, you're a little uncomfortable. I have people come to me all the time, and some I'm dealing with now, who say to me, preacher, life to me has no purpose. Preacher, I come to services and I'm confused. Preacher, there's just something inside of me. There's a void inside of me. And they will use everything in the world to try to fill the void. And they'll use drugs. They'll use work. They'll use, finances. They'll use children even and keeping themselves busy with sports. And they'll use all sorts of things to try to drown out this yearning inside to know the Lord. This void in our life that only can be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, well, preacher, you're preaching on salvation again, and I don't know if there's anyone lost here this morning. Doesn't matter. But understand this. The more salvation messages you hear, the deep things of God, if you want to know the deep things of God, it's not whether we're Calvinists or not. It's not about the sovereignty of God. It's not, and I can go through all the attributes of God. If you want to learn the deep things of God, learn about salvation. The more and more you understand salvation, the deeper you will be in your theology. Amen. Amen. Listen this morning. Listen. We are in the pit. And when a person is in a pit and a person begins to be dealt with by God, they're uncomfortable. That's why I say if a lost person comes through the back door and if they don't feel just a little bit uncomfortable on a Sunday morning when the salvation of the gospel is being preached, I have done something wrong. I feel that way. They should feel a little uncomfortable. Amen. Listen this morning. If you're in that situation where God is dealing with you and God is dealing with you and has been dealing with you, listen, don't give up. Take the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just get closer and closer to the one who died for you. And He will reveal Himself to you. Listen, if you're in the pit, it's going to be dark and dirty there. By the way, it's hopeless there. The Bible says there was no water there, no food there. A person who was thrown into the pit, which is what Joseph's brothers intended on doing, would throw him in the pit and leave him there for death. Leave him there till they die. Listen, you don't want to die in the pit. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you do not want to die in the pit. If you die in the pit, all hope is gone. Forever seeing and knowing and ushering into heaven and seeing those streets of gold. It's a hopeless place. There are many people trying to get out of the pit. There are many people trying to get out of the pit. These people will be thrown in the pit, and of course they're going to try to claw their way out. But the pit's too deep. The walls cave in as they try to go up the pit. Many people are trying to use religion to get out of the pit. They think if they do good deeds, they can get out of the pit. They think if they'll come to church a few times, they can get out of the pit. They believe if they'll just get baptized, they can get out of the pit. Many people working, trying to work their way out of the pit. Listen, you can't work your way out of the pit. You can't work your way out of this dry pit. Well, how do I get out of the pit? Well, it tells you. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, have I set forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. How do you get out of the pit? By the blood. The New Testament tells us that when Jesus Christ sets us free, He sets us free indeed. How? By the blood of the covenant. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, that's the New Testament says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we have redemption through His blood. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. How? In His own blood. The Bible says, how are we saved? We're not saved by silver and gold or traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, without blemish. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now is Christ Jesus, who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I can keep reading. I mean, the New Testament over and over and over again, the book of Hebrews says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of spirit unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. It's through the blood of the covenant that we are set forth out of the pit. It's through the blood of the covenant that we are saved from that pit. I love the word. It uses very, very precise here. It doesn't say that you escaped the pit. It says you were set forth. Set forth. I tell you what, I've been set forth out of the pit by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, I've been pardoned by the King. You know, if a person escapes jail, and there was some here in Tarrant County that tried this last week, if they escape jail, if a police officer finds them, what happens? They go back to jail. Right? But if the governor pardons them, if the governor sets them free, are they scared that the policeman are going to find them and they're going to go back to jail? No, they've been set forth. They've been set free. They didn't escape. They've been set free. Listen, I'm not concerned once I now am out of the pit and I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His shed blood on Calvary. I've been set forth out of the pit with no water, that uncomfortable spot, that place of no hope. I've been set forth out of it, and I never have to worry about going back. Amen? Nobody can take me back. I've been set forth. Prisoner of hope. Sin condemns us to the pit, but Jesus sets us forth. Oh, there's so much here. You think of Jesus Christ who died for us. The Bible says that God made Him to be sin for us. Talking about Jesus. To be sin for us who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. He died. He paid that price. He died the death I should have died. But He died in my place. The substitutionary death of Christ is the core of the gospel. The substitution of Jesus Christ, that He died in my place. He bore my sorrows. He bore my griefs. He bore my sins upon the cross and died and shed His blood on Calvary for me and for you, that we might have eternal life, that we might be set forth out of the pit. Listen, this morning, it's not about whether you can climb out of the pit. It's about whether or not you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and allow Him to set you forth out of the pit. Are you uncomfortable this morning? Is your life a maze without hope? Does sleep sometimes fail you as you think about eternity, as you think about your life? Life does not have to be a maze. Life does not have to be one day after another of the same old thing, and you don't have to face life's trials alone. Jesus Christ is there for you. Trust Jesus. Come to Him. I tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all in sin. Old song says, I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. What? Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. What? He washed it white as snow. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me what? White as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I could go on and on with the great old hymns. But listen, you don't have to stay in that pit. You can be set forth, and you're set forth by placing and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His life and His death, and the blood that He shed on Calvary, and also His resurrection. Amen? You say, well, that's real easy, preacher. That's exactly right. There's been so misinformation, so much misinformation about salvation, and so much out there. But listen to me, it is that simple. It is simply saying to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I repent. Lord, I know my sins got me in this mess. And I know, Jesus Christ, You can get me out of it. You can set me forth out of that miry pit. Verse 12 speaks of that prisoner of hope. Ye prisoners of hope. The Bible says there, and look at verse 12 again, it says, turn you to the stronghold. At the moment of salvation, at the moment that Jesus Christ sets you forth out of the pit, we must turn to Christ. We must turn to Him. In other words, we must continue to go towards Him. Not for salvation, but listen to this. Psalm 40. Turn over there. Other verse you have to turn to. This is a good one. This is a good one right here. This is a good one. By the way, I didn't cover a lot of my sermon, but if you ever get a chance, you can go back and study where it says the covenant of my blood. Do you remember what Jesus said when they were taking the Lord's Supper? Passed the blood out. He said, this is the covenant of my blood. There's three or four of the spots in the New Testament where that particular phrase is used. For those of you who like to study your Bible, it'd be real interesting for you to go look at that. It's fascinating. Not fascinating, it's awesome. Amen. The Bible's great. Psalm 40. Some of you know where I'm going with this one. Look, the Bible says, this is David, King David speaking. He said, I waited patiently, Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Amen. Listen, those of you who are blood-bought, who've been set forth out of the pit, God hears your cries. God hears you. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Listen, before you're saved, that pit is horrible. Horrible. Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a, what is it? Rock, and establish my goings. Isn't that good? That's good, isn't it? He took me, brought me out of that miry clay, that old horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Just leave your Bible there. We're going to come back to that verse in a moment. David understood and knew and understood that great relief it was, that great load that's lifted at Calvary when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you're set forth out of the pit. Man, what a great, great and wonderful thing it is. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. I love that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and the things of this earth, the despair and discouragement and distress, all those things will grow dim if you keep your eyes on Jesus. You've been released from the pit. You've been delivered from the pit. You've been set forth from the pit. Now turn to the stronghold. Turn to the strongholds. In times of doubt, turn to the stronghold. In times of fear, when you feel you're in danger, turn to the stronghold. When you feel you're in trouble concerning maybe your mourning and maybe you feel convicted about your lack of prayer time in your life, turn to the stronghold. Maybe this morning you're doubting your salvation and the devil has just put that doubtful thought in your brain and says, Hey, you're not saved. You can't go throughout life and live the way you're living and be a Christian. Maybe the old devil's just implanting that in your mind. Listen, go to the stronghold. Go to Jesus in your spiritual walk. In times of trouble, in times of distress, go to the stronghold. You say, "Oh, preacher, my tongue slipped this morning on the way to church." Go to the stronghold. Amen? Go to the stronghold. Go to Jesus. Run to Him. Don't fight in your own strength. Listen to me this morning, Christian. You've been set forth out of the pit. Not only can you not escape the pit and get out on your own, but you can't live the Christian life on your own. You've got to go to the stronghold. Listen, I'm nothing. Christ is everything. I'm condemned. Christ pardoned me. I'm guilty and Christ blotted out my transgressions and my record. Listen, I am weak, but He is strong. We must go to the stronghold. We must go in times of sorrow and also go in times of joy. Amen? We must not only go when we're strong, but go when we're weak. Go to the stronghold. Go to the stronghold. The verse there in Zechariah, go back if you would, says, "Go to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope." Those who are released from the pit, those who are prisoners of hope, go to the stronghold. Go to Jesus. And Zechariah chapter 9 again says, "Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." You prisoners of hope, those who have been set forth out of the pit, the Bible gives you a promise to give you double. Look at Psalms 40 again, if you still got your finger over there. David again says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit," well, that old pit, "out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." By the way, that rock is Jesus. "And establish my goings." I'm glad the Lord gives me direction in life. I do not have to live life in a maze. I do not have to live life in a cloud. I don't have to live a life that's without purpose. He establishes my goings. He has put what? A new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wondrous, wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward, listen to this, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Do you understand that God thinks about you more than can be numbered? The man who is brought up out of the pit, the man who's delivered from the pit, the man who's delivered from that miry pit, God establishes his goings, God establishes her goings, and gives him a new song. I'm glad today I've been given a new song. I am doubly blessed today. I am. The Christian life is unlike any other life. It's a life of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It really is. I can't even half describe to you what it's like to be a Christian. What it's like to know the Lord as my Savior. what it's like not to be in the pit anymore. What it's like to, again, to have direction and purpose and to know that Jesus Christ is there walking alongside of me. I can't even describe to you how wonderful it feels when going through that valley of the shadow of death with loved ones, and how great it feels that God gives you that peace that passes all understanding. I can't tell you the half. The half has yet been told. O King Solomon, during that time of great, great power in the nation of Israel, the Bible says that Solomon, that all of his servants served not because they had to, because they wanted to. It says that the city of Jerusalem was so wealthy that literally there were diamonds and other things just lying in the street. That's how wealthy the city and the kingdom of Israel was. It was amazing. So here comes the queen of Ethiopia, and she comes up to see. She's heard of the great fame of Solomon. She's heard of the great fame of Jerusalem. She's heard of the great fame of the temple. And the Bible says that the queen of Sheba came up, and she came into the courts of King Solomon, and her words were, after seeing how the servants served, after seeing the riches and the wisdom of Solomon, she said, the half has not been told. In other words, it was double what she thought it would be. It was double beyond her comprehension. It was double. It was half had not been told her. It was amazing, she said. It was amazing. Listen to me this morning. The half has not been told. We are not told everything about heaven. We know there's streets of gold. We know there's walls of jaspers and gates of pearls. We know our loved ones who are saved are there, and Jesus is there, and God is sitting on the throne, and all these things, and there's a river of life that runs through there, and there's trees on that river that have fruit on them. Maybe they're also got some roast beef on them. I'm not sure. But the half has not been told. Mansions of gold. The half has not been told. There's no graveyards. There's no cemeteries in heaven. There's no more pain, no more sickness, no more death in heaven. Oh, what a great time. What a great place it'll be. And the half has not been told. Listen, He'll bless us double. Double. Set us free. Put a new song in our hearts. I wish sometimes those who are thinking about salvation and thinking about coming to the Lord, I wish sometimes I could just take what I feel and say, hey, feel this. I'm telling you, the half hasn't been told. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to be a Christian. Not even the half of it. What it is to have a wife and children and a home that I have, that God's blessed me with. Well, so you're the preacher. You're supposed to feel that way. No, all Christians feel that way. The half has not been told. This life is not but half. The rest of the story is the next life to come. Listen this morning, have you been set forth out of the pit? Have you been set forth out of the pit? Do you know for sure this morning that you have salvation? Do you know for sure? If you don't, during the invitation, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. You can come down front, and one of these workers down here will show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven. How you can be set forth by Jesus Christ out of that pit. Prisoners of hope, those who've been set forth out of the pit, let me again encourage you to hope in God. Hope in God. That New Testament principle is for Christians. Hope in God. Hope in God. Get back to the stronghold. Run to Him. You can't make it on your own. Go to the stronghold. As you go to the stronghold, He'll bless you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you with abundant life now and eternal life to come. What a great blessing. Amen. Let's all stand.